Chapter 19 of the Coexistence of Good and Evil in the Church and Their Final Separation. 31. Neither ought we to be moved by the consideration that many consent unto the devil, and few follow God. For the grain too, in comparison with the chaff, has greatly the defect in number. But even as the husbandman knows what to do with the mighty heap of chaff, so the multitude of sinners is nothing to God, who knows what to do with them, so as not to let the administration of his kingdom be disordered and dishonored in any part, nor is the devil to be supposed to have proved victorious for the mere reason of his drawing away with him more than the few by whom he may be overcome. In this way there are two communities, one of the ungodly and another of the holy, which are carried down from the beginning of the human race even to the end of the world, which are at present commingled in respect of bodies, but separated in respect of wills, and which, moreover, are destined to be separated also in respect of bodily presence in the day of judgment. For all men who love pride and temporal power with vain elation and pomp of arrogance, and all spirits who set their affections on such things and seek their own glory in the subjection of men, are bound fast together in one association. Nay, even although they frequently fight against each other on account of these things, they are nevertheless precipitated by the like weight of lust into the same abyss, and are united with each other by similarity of manners and merits. And again, all men and all spirits who humbly seek the glory of God and not their own, and who follow him in piety, belong to one fellowship. And notwithstanding this, God is most merciful and patient with ungodly men, and offers them a place for penitence and amendment. 32. For with respect also to the fact that he destroyed all men in the flood, with the exception of one righteous man together with his house, whom he willed to be saved in the ark, he knew indeed that they would not amend themselves. Yet nevertheless, as the building of the ark went on for the space of 100 years, the wrath of God which was to come upon them was certainly preached to them, and if they only would have turned to God, he would have spared them, as at a later period he spared the city of Nineveh when it repented, after he had announced to it by means of a prophet the destruction that was about to overtake it. Thus, moreover, God acts, granting a space for repentance even to those who he knows will persist in wickedness, in order that he may exercise and instruct our patience by his own example, whereby also we may know how greatly it befits us to bear with the evil in long-suffering, when we know not what manner of men they will prove hereafter, seeing that he, whose cognizance nothing that is yet to be escapes, spares them and suffers them to live. Under the sacramental sign of the flood, however, in which the righteous were rescued by the wood, there was also a foreannouncement of the church which was to be, which Christ its King and God has raised on high, by the mystery of his cross in safety from the submersion of this world. Moreover, God was not ignorant of the fact that, even of those who had been saved in the ark, there would be born wicked men, who would cover the face of the earth a second time with iniquities. But nevertheless he both gave them a pattern of the future judgment, and foreannounced the deliverance of the holy by the mystery of the wood. For even after these things, wickedness did not cease to sprout forth again through pride and lusts and illicit impieties, when men, forsaking their Creator, not only fell to the standard of the creature which God made, so as to worship instead of God that which God made, but even bowed their souls to the works of the hands of men and to the contrivances of craftsmen, wherein a more shameful triumph was to be won over them by the devil, and by those evil spirits who rejoice in finding themselves adored and reverenced in such false devices, while they feed their own errors with the errors of men. 33. But in truth there were not wanting in those times righteous men also of the kind to seek God piously, and to overcome the pride of the devil, citizens of that holy community, who were made whole by the humiliation of Christ, which was then only destined to enter but was revealed to them by the Spirit. From among these, Abraham, a pious and faithful servant of God, was chosen, in order that to him might be shown the sacrament of the Son of God, so that thus, in virtue of the imitation of his faith, all the faithful of all nations might be called his children in the future. Of him was born a people, by whom the one true God who made heaven and earth should be worshipped when all other nations did service to idols and evil spirits. In that people, plainly, the future church was much more evidently prefigured, for in it there was a carnal multitude that worshipped God with a view to visible benefits, but in it there were also a few who thought of the future rest, and looked longingly for the heavenly fatherland, to whom through prophecy was revealed the coming humiliation of God in the person of our King and Lord Jesus Christ, in order that they might be made whole of all pride and arrogance through that faith. And with respect to these saints who in point of time had precedence of the birth of the Lord, not only their speech but also their life and their marriages and their children and their doings, constituted a prophecy of this time, at which the church is being gathered together out of all nations through faith in the passion of Christ. By the instrumentality of those holy patriarchs and prophets, this carnal people of Israel, who at a later period were also called Jews, had ministered unto them at once those visible benefits which they eagerly desired of the Lord in a carnal manner, and those chastisements, in the form of bodily punishments, which were intended to terrify them for the time, as was befitting for their obstinacy. And in all these, nevertheless, there were also spiritual mysteries signified, such as were meant to bear upon Christ and the church, of which church those saints also were members, although they existed in this life previous to the birth of Christ, the Lord according to the flesh. For this same Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Word of the Father, equal and co-eternal with the Father, by whom all things were made, was himself also made man for our sakes, in order that of the whole church, as of his whole body, he might be the head. But just as when the whole man is in the process of being born, although he may put the hand forth first in the act of birth, yet is that hand joined and compacted together with the whole body under the head. Even as also among these same patriarchs some were born with the hand put forth first as a sign of this very thing, so all the saints who lived upon the earth previous to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, although they were born antecedently, were nevertheless united under the head with that universal body of which he is the head.